hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm using my old headphones, so I've got a couple. So I was going to go grab my new ones. But yeah. All right. So let's see here. Big week for the opening week of football. We had a celebrity passing. And anything you want to add, but I'm just going to do. Do you want to do week one, or do week two, or you want me to do both? How you want to do it? I'll tell you what. I'll do the wrap ups, and if you want to, do you want to do a fantasy preview and the rankings of the teams?
Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah.
All right. Hello and welcome to Indy's Local Flavor. My name's Joe Carney with my buddy Rob. Big weekend in football. This last weekend, it was my birthday. I was fortunate enough to take my son, who's a senior in high school, and we went to the Colts and Seahawks game, and we were fortunate enough to be in the 19th row. So,
oh, wow.
Fun, wow. And because, you know, at before when they first released single season tickets in July, nobody was buying them because Wentz was,
yeah,
they thought Wentz was going to be out. So mm-hmm. I snagged the Raiders tickets first, and then in January, and then I snagged the Seahawks tickets later. So,
yeah, good deal.
Yeah, so fun times. Let's get down to business with week one action. The Bucks beat the Cowboys barely at the end. I had some people talking mess to me about Amari Cooper wasn't a real Raider, and Amari Cooper wasn't focused in Oakland at the time. And after he scored 32 fantasy points, I quoted Kumo D and I said, "How you like me now?"
Yeah, I liked Amari Cooper on my team that week. Yeah, that was really good, especially with having Dak as my QB.
Good day.
Yeah, it was a good day. I basically only needed another 16 points after that, is the way it fell out, to clinch it for the week. So,
and you don't give Brady the ball with a minute 30.
Oh god,
I knew.
My dad's birthday was the 10th, and I went out there and surprised him and took that day off from work. And we were talking about the game the night before, and my mom hadn't watched it. Dad had, and she asked about it, and I go, "Tom frickin' Brady."
Yeah, I was cursing the television as well. So, yeah, but, you know, I don't like the guy, and I'm a big Michigan guy, but you got to respect the guy. So, and here's my question. I know it would be a horrific PR move, but let's turn back the clock. What would happen if stepped aside due to his health issues and Arians was still the coach of the Colts?
Yep. And we've been stumbling ever since. I think the stat I saw was since around that time, Colts have had five starting QBs.
Right. So the Bills were supposed to beat the Steelers, and they did not. And the Steelers upset the Bills. The Browns gave the Chiefs all they could handle. The Chiefs beat the Browns, came back to win. I don't know what kind of spoiled cheese fondue they were eating in Wisconsin, but the Saints destroyed the pack. So it wasn't even funny.
It was very funny when your fantasy team has A-Rod.
Right. Yeah. Oh, oopsie.
The incarnate. He scored a whopping 1.1.
More like through the A-Rod. So, yeah. And it wasn't to his receivers. It was to the other team.
He's worth the money. So glad he came back. You enjoy that, Green Bay.
Didn't. And everybody's saying he needs to come to Indianapolis. I'm like, are you sure about that? I don't know about that.
He's got a overinflated Brady complex. I'll just walk in and be bored with it and win.
Yeah, you got to put the time in, right?
Yep.
The Rams are all the Bears, and that's who the Colts have at home. The Bengals surprised me and upset the Vikings in overtime. Titans looked like they bought a ticket and sat in the bleachers. The Cardinal, well, Kyler Murray's the man. Outside of him and Mahomes, Kyler Murray's the man in the NFC anyway. The Cardinals roll the Titans. Chargers upset the Chiefs team, of course, the Washington football team. Are we calling them soccer now? Washington football team.
My nod to that is, we discussed it in our last podcast, my fantasy team name this year is the PC Police football
team. Yes, yes, yes. Mine is the classic. I changed it somewhat. It used to be Flora's Fighting Fury, and I changed it to a tribute of Sergeant Fury of Marvel Comics.
Oh,
I said,
nice.
I said Flora's Howling Fury, and I placed in third place, thanks to Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And Texans beat the Jags, you know, in a yawn fest.
Yeah.
Dolphins beat the Patriots in a close game, which was interesting. The catch by Tyler Lockett, the 60-yarder from Russell Wilson, reminded me of Lynn Swan. He was looking left, the ball's in the air, and he looks back right, and bang, it's in his hands, and he burns the defender for a touchdown. And there were so many Seahawks fans. I met a gentleman, a Native American, who flew in from Seattle, and he had a blue totem pole eagle necklace that he made himself.
Wow.
And it was insane. And he was supposed to friend me on social media, and so for whatever reason, it didn't happen. But I hung out with him, and he's met Steve Largent. He's met Kurt Warner, the running back. You know, he's met, he didn't say Marshawn Lynch, but he met a boatload of people. And he was super cool. And he said, I was going to buy him a bottle of water. And all they had was Dasani. He says, I can't drink that, man. It's got salt in it. It makes you thirsty. And I'm like, that's why I don't like it. So that's all they had. So
that's an interesting fact. And it would make sense, because I don't know if they're owned by Coke or Pepsi, but it's one of
their Coke product.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, you guys aren't really vegan here, are you? And I'm like, not so much. Mm. I mean, there's a couple spots, but not a lot. And he says, yeah, man. I don't know. I don't eat meat. And I'm like, oh, I hear you, brother. So I'm diabetic. I hear you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was great to hang out with him. And I saw a guy in a Jonathan Taylor Colts jersey, and he was wearing a silver Guy Hawks V for Vendetta mask with a Colts hat. I got a picture of that. And my son had a good time. He talked with a Native American. He talked with both of us, with me and my son. That was fun. McAfee. Was McAfee on television?
I watched the game just as it started, so I didn't see any pregame. I didn't see him anywhere while it was broadcasting, no.
Okay. McAfee did the pregame because it was the September 11th tribute.
Yeah.
And let me go back. Before I went into the South Gate, where that's the tailgate spot. So I parked and walked, and I walked 2 miles that day because I had my fancy watch on, and that I hate and love.
Yeah, join the club. My mind tells me I'm not breathing enough. My heart rate's too high.
Oh yeah, you need to stand and breathe. You know, and I'm like, yeah,
you're supposed to be stressed. You know, it stresses me out, and it's supposed to monitor how stressed I am.
It's the new anxiety watch by the record label that has the green fruit.
It's new for 2021. The heart attack instigator.
Do you need more stress in your life? Try this special watch. Anyway, no, the watch is cool. I've been working out more. So I'll get to that next. We were walking in front of Eli Lilly, and they had a walkway for their employees, and it's all brick, and it had the coolest sayings on it. It was like a gated walkway, black gate that you walk under on one side, and it had sayings on each cement side on the left and right on both sides of the walkway walking over. So we walked through there, and we walked more blocks to get to the south side of the stadium. And since it was September 11th weekend, they had the pipe and the Colts pipe and drum corps there. The pipes wore white jerseys with their names on it and numbers, and the drummers wore blue jerseys with their names and numbers. And they played Amazing Grace, When the Saints Comes Marching In, and Danny Boy, and it was outstanding. So that was walking into the stadium. We came in late, so we didn't get a program, but I got a program from a fan had four people in his group, and he gave me a program, which was cool. And then going back out at halftime, they gave away free Colts shirts that said "Back to School" or "School's Back in Set" for free. So that was nice. And yeah. I also grabbed I usually try to get one souvenir in the pro shop, and they had the Canton yearbook for 2020 and 2021 for a reasonable price. So I snatched that up. It was a fun time. My son had a good time. I had a good time. Awesome. Good weekend. The other cool story I have from that is, Rob, on keto, I've lost 20 a month. My blood sugar's much more reasonable. I'm walking. My brother got me some special walking shoes. The Hoka walking shoes are the best exercise shoes I've ever had in my life. They're expensive, but they are the top of the line. And they're amazingly comfortable. I thought Asics were the top of the line, and they're three times better than Asics. And mom and my sister and my brother-in-law threw a birthday family thing for me at a park in Fishers. Not really nice. Ron Holland Memorial Park by the city of Fishers government area.
Yeah.
And really nice park. Never been there before. And we got lost. And I thought it was school park. And I'm like, oh boy. And we had to drive over there. So anyway, so my brother-in-law is all tied back. He brought a small Colts football. And my son is the receiver. And I'm playing Raiders bump and run 1970s defense on him. So you know, I'm bumping him at the line of scrimmage. I pushed him over when he was hiking the ball, and he always talks to me, so I made an extra special session of talking trash to him. But anyway, I do a trick play where instead of going for a pass, I tell my brother-in-law Ryan to fake the pass, and I will do a running play on the right, and I score. I say Bo Jackson for the touchdown, the ball. So here's the crazy part. I turned 51 September 8th. My son's 17. He'll be 18 in November. When he's running as a receiver, he jogs, but he can turn on the afterburner and be gone.
Yeah.
I haven't ran in 5 years because of these shoes. And, you know, it's got to be the shoes, Mike. Got to be the shoes. But because I've lost the weight and because of these shoes, because they give me ankle and knee support, I was able to keep up with my son. And he was a scoring threat. He picks up a first down. He misses the first two passes and it's a third down. And he's two steps in front of me. Right?
Right.
And he has me beat. So I'm like, go big or go home. Charles Woodson dive all out. Smack that ball into the next zip code. Huh. and he says he got fouled. So I was all out of gas by then. He went out again and scored, so it was tie 7-7. So it was a great birthday.
Nice.
Great birthday. So that was the long story. I meant to do a short story. So anyway.
I want to circle back to the keto thing. So how the heck do you do that? I tried it once, and I was like, no. After 2 days, I was like, nope, not going to do it.
Okay, well, I saw my diabetes doctor, endocrinologist, fantastic doctor in Carmel, and I'll plug her, and that's fine. Dr. Chandry, St. Vincent's Carmel. They going on up there. I got some information on dietdoctor.com that conflicted with my endocrinologist, Dr. Chandry. So my blood sugar in July is supposed to be a 7. It was a 12. That's my second highest score. And it happens to me every July. And nobody really gets it, but I get it. And I know why. So yesterday they ran another A1C. And it was high-ish at a 9. Supposed to be a 7. And I said, hey now, my blood sugars are in the 100s in the morning. She's probably in the 200s in the evening. I'm like, yeah, after eating, yeah. So, and she said, well, what are you eating? And I said, well, I was told on keto, you can eat all the meats and whatever dairy you want. And she says, you can't eat all the meats. I said, so pretty much I was having the meat lover's diet. And she said, well, you can't do that because you were in the hospital for pancreatitis twice.
Yeah.
That's a no-go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so what's the alternative? And she said, you get rid of the bacon, you get rid of the red meat, and you do chicken, fish, and turkey. Yeah. Well, I can't afford, I don't.
Seafood's
expensive. I'm gonna be honest here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be honest and transparent. I'm not a fan of regular chicken because of the growth hormone in it.
Yeah.
And I can't afford free range chicken.
Right.
So chicken's off the table. So I can eat Gordon's fish sticks. No yeah. problem. I can eat any seafood I want. Any seafood. So Asian is all good. You just want to do it. You've got to lose the rice. You do whatever Asian you want. Stay away from sweet and sour if you can, or do it as a splurge on the weekends, and do the shrimp or crab or lobster with vegetables and you're good. Just excuse the rice. And then whatever fish you want, get the high-end fish or get the Gordon's Foods is fine. And I do turkey as well. So I said, but I told my doctor, I hated losing the bananas because it was too high in sugar. And she says, don't lose the apples, eat those. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's against keto. And she says, no. You need the natural sugar for your body. So it's a hybrid. I was given the direction of a hybrid of the protein, the good proteins. Get rid of the red meat. You can have it as a splurge. If you want to have a bison burger or a hamburger on the weekend, fine. Or some bacon. You can eat omelets. I stick with the veggie omelet. You can have omelets. Stay away from the hash browns, potatoes, and corn, and rice are out. They're neutral. They're starches. So, yeah. And so she said, eat all the fruits you want. Do grapes in like a handful portion. But eat all, you know, eat the peaches, eat the apples, eat the bananas, eat the persimmons. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do that again, of course. So it's a hybrid, and nuts and the beans, which so it's a hybrid of the superfoods, which you can look up on Google if you don't know what that is. It's a hybrid of the keto and the superfoods. And I just found out that V8 makes three great juices now, flavored juices, that are 10 grams of sugar or less. So I'm going to buy that right after this show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in 2016, I lost 60 pounds the hard way. Medically, I lost 60 pounds the hard way due to my diabetes. And I was in the hospital. Lost it the hard way. This time, I lost it on keto my way. And it was like it melted off. Yeah. Because I'm walking, I'm drinking more water. You can drink flavored water. I'm eating much smarter. I feel much more healthier. I was wearing a 2X. I'm now in my XL concert t-shirts. I'm like, slam dunk.
Yeah. Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah.
Now, you're hitting a nerve when you mentioned keto, because my garden, it did not produce like it should have, just because of the way the weather here locally happened. It became basically a field of weeds after a certain point when it quit raining. So
yeah,
but I got some stuff, and now I've got stuff, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this? So I went in this weekend. I bought a food processor.
Yeah,
because when I was out at my parents, they gave me even more from their garden. So I'm like, this is. So I made homemade salsa, my first attempt at homemade salsa.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, you know, I could, you know, you're supposed to, I believe the average is for an adult male, at least 4 servings of vegetables.
Yes.
2 servings of fruits.
Yes.
Nectarines. Nectarines are in season right now.
Yep.
When you buy them from the store, they're hard as a rock, but if you let them sit for 2 or 3 days, they're perfect. I had one that was just absolutely, perfect. So yeah, that basically I'm trying to figure out what my next steps are. So,
well, you know, you can text me anytime, and I'm pretty much up on it, because I did Weight Watchers for 16 months and lost and gained the same 10 pounds. It was a yo-yo.
Yeah.
So, but keto for me is smart. I'm eating smarter. And it's been, because I was on the Weight Watchers thing, the formula is easy for me. And because I did the diabetic diet before, for me, the diabetic diet for me, when it worked for me, but see, you know, I've had 4 years of the 500s in July. So my framework, I never counted the carbs for me. And this doesn't work for everybody. This is my formula that works for me. My formula for me being diabetic, I went from diabetic type 1 down to diabetic type 2 since July. So,
nice.
Because I've lost all this weight. So, and I'm going to lose more. And that's how you have to look at it. My guideline is anything over 10 grams of sugar, you got to read the labels. 10 grams of sugar is out. Potato chips are out. That's a neutral starch. That's gone. Junk food, gone. The noodles are gone. Pasta's gone. If you want to have it as a splurge, fine. Go do it as a splurge on the weekend. Pizza is a splurge because it's bread. Bread and pasta, rice, potatoes, those are all gone. So now, but they have keto bread. You can get keto bread. You can get keto hamburger buns. Supposedly they're keto hot dog buns. I have not seen any in Central Indiana at all.
Here's one, and you may want to check it out.
Yeah,
I believe it's Mission, the tortilla.
Yes. Oh,
company.
Okay. Yes.
They have carb friendly versions of that.
Okay. All right.
That's what I buy.
You said Mission.
Mission. Yeah.
Mission it's tortillas.
Yeah, they're in the tortilla aisle with Latin foods and
okay,
yeah, just look. It says it, you know, in pretty big print. A lot of them, you know, a lot of the companies, they want to mirror the imaging to kind of confuse, but
yeah,
look for it. It's either red or blue lettering, carb friendly, I think is what it says on it.
Okay, and as Steve Martin would say, Mission Tortillas.
Marsa, Mission Tortillas. Dang, right. Quesadillas.
Quite. And I'm going to plug these guys as well because they have a great, they have a great feature. I absolutely support Newman's Foods. Paul Newman's line of foods. The ranch dressing is the best I've ever had. What's the other one? And
pasta sauce.
I always get the Sacchettini, which is like the combination pizza.
Yeah.
And their salsa is outstanding. Now, you're going to pay a little more, but the payoff is all of those, all 100% of those sales go to charity. It's always been like that.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what. That's why I spend a little more, get better quality, and this portion sizes are a little smaller, but it's worth it. So answer me this, Rob. I live on the east side, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was on the far, far north side yesterday coming out of the doctor's office. And I go into the other big box store that's a grocery that doesn't start as Wally World, right?
Yep.
And I look for the high-end keto stuff.
Yeah.
And I love that big box store, but I can spend money like water in there because they have everything.
Yeah.
So, and that wasn't the issue. My issue was, when I shop for the keto stuff by me in the city adjacent to me going east on US 40, the prices are high-ish. When I go on the far north side, the first time I've ever been in there, $2 cheaper.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Why? Because the people on US 40 need the price break, Holmes.
Yeah.
They need the price break. So why is it cheaper on the far north side?
Well, because I could get political here, but I won't.
I know the answer.
Yeah.
I know the answer, but you know, no, it is what it is. And I hate that phrase, but it's overused, but it is what it is.
Well, and it's in that example, it's not about volume, true volume. There's underlying factors there. And, you know, well, if I'm following the same chain,
yeah,
I can't go into the store that's closest to me and reliably find products from one week to the other, but it's like clockwork. They've gotten better, but it's every Sunday for the last 1 to 2 months. And this was, maybe it'll change now because of football season, but every Sunday for the last 2 months, that's when I purchased groceries. I could not get in there before 5 o'clock without having to wait.
Oh yeah.
I'm not kidding. 30 to 45 minutes in line because there's nobody working.
You know? Well, and here's my thing, and I have a beef with that as well. I do grocery shopping regularly. Aldi has it down. They ring the bell when it's a long line, and their customer service is outstanding.
Yeah.
So, everybody else, if you don't have a small amount of groceries, you can get in and get out fairly quickly. But they only have 3 lanes open.
Yeah.
Every store I've been in. And I'm like, that's not enough for the elderly who don't have Apple Pay.
Yeah.
So here's my other plug. If you're diabetic, and I just got this today, I haven't tried it yet, but it comes from, to me, it's a safe source because I know where I got it. Fresh Thyme sells, and it's not cheap. Fresh Thyme sells. If you have diabetic issues, if you have type 1, it's not going to help you. I'll just put that disclaimer out there. If you have type 2, I'll read the bottle. New Chapter Cinnamon Force. You get this at Fresh Time. It's $40 for 30 pills. Pure and potent extracts retain, I'm sorry, 60 pills for $40. New Chapter Cinnamon Force, pure and potent extracts, returning healthy blood sugar levels. That's the first one. I just found this one today, and it's $21. I never even knew about this. And I've been taking cinnamon pills forever. Host Defense Mushrooms Maitake, made with U.S.-grown organic mushroom mycelium and fruit bodies, helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels as part of your diet, gluten-free, 60 vegetarian capsules, dietary supplement. And I'm like, I'm down for that. I am down for, I will try this in a minute.
Yeah.
So.
Well, our good friend Ricky T, the Washington football
football
hater,
yes.
Hater now.
right.
He swears by mushrooms. He is not vaccinated. He has six children. He and his wife have six children.
Right.
I don't know if any of them are vaccinated, but during the whole time, he's like, I'm just going to take my mushrooms. I'm just going to take my mushrooms. Just going to take my mushrooms. There's something there. There definitely is.
No doubt. So that's why when I first started this show, I wanted to talk about health, music, movies, books, and health and wellness. Sports, music, movies, books, health and wellness. I want to leave that door open so we can have this conversation, because a ton of people do not know about cinnamon pills. And I've discovered them.
Yep.
And the other thing that will help you, and I'm not saying it's bulletproof against the virus, but it will help your immune system, is elderberry and zinc.
Yeah.
So I buy those too. So I put those in the mix every night. Yeah.
Yep.
So let's move on to week two. Week two in the NFL. I didn't do all the teams. I did the highlights. We've got the Bengals at the Bears. Titans at the Seahawks. Maybe the game of the week. The Chiefs at the Ravens. Vikings at the Cardinals. Falcons at the Buccaneers. Good game. Division game. Sunday night game is Cowboys at the Chargers. Amari Cooper wins again. And the Rams at the Colts. Rams are favored by 3.5, and they cover, in my opinion. The Raiders are at the Steelers. Steelers by 5.5, I think they cover, in my opinion. And then the Monday night game is the Lions at the Packers. So my next segment, I walk into that Northside store, and they had football cards. I'm a football card collector. So I asked the gentleman, and it was locked case. I asked the gentleman to open it, and there were two kinds of cards. The first kinds of cards, I was like, no. It was the Donruss football cards. For one box, right, $35, it was four packs of 16 cards, $35. I was like, pass. I'm like, what's the other pack? The other box was, I have it right here. The Prestige Panini 2021 NFL trading cards, 60 cards, and it's got some specialty cards in there as well for $20. I got that one. And here's the highlights. Here's who I got. Khalil Mack, former Raider, Chicago Bear. Josh Jacobs, running back, Raiders. Cam Newton as a Patriot quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins, receiver with the Cardinals. Derek Carr, quarterback, Raiders. Specialty card, Errol Donald dominates with takedown as he's sacking Russell Wilson. Terry McLaurin, running back from the Redskins. Throwback card, Ed McCafferty of the Broncos. Rookie card, season's greetings from Alabama from Devontae Smith. And that's a specialty card. Lamar Jackson of the Ravens, Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys, Matthew Stafford of the Rams, Tyler Lockett of the Seahawks, Devontae Johnson of the Steelers, Jamal Hurts of the Eagles, McCaffrey of the Panthers, Matt Ryan of the Falcons, Deebo Samuels of the Niners, Landry of the Browns, Mike Evans of the Bucks, Josh Brown, who's now a Raider, Justin Jefferson of the Vikings, Emmanuel Sanders of the Bills, Devontae Parker of the Dolphins, Bobby Wagner of the Seahawks, and finally Julio Jones in his old uniform with the Falcons. And the reason why I bring this up, I went to Fat Dan's on the north side and had a great Cuban sandwich. Cuban sandwiches are hard to find here in central Indiana. And so I asked the guy, I asked Ed. Ed's the manager there when I walk in. And I said, hey, do you have Apple Pay? And he said, yes. So I go to pay and I say, okay, I'm ready to pay with Apple Pay. And he says, we don't have that. I'm like, that was all I had.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I run to the local gas station. They can't give me change. And that's how I end up at Meijer. And so I end up doing my grocery shopping and I end up getting these football cards. And I go back and have a conversation with him. And we had a really good conversation. If you're on the north side, the far north side in Carmel, there's a Fat Dan's in Carmel. There's a Fat Dan's in downtown on Mass Ave. I've been to both of them. Sandwiches are great. It's a Chicago Bears. It's a Chicago bar. So if you're a Cubs fan, Blackhawks fan, a Bears fan, I'm drawing a blank on the soccer team, but Chicago Fire, that's the place to go. And even if you're a Colts fan, they'll welcome you with open arms. So it's a good place to be. Fat Dan's in Carmel in downtown. Ed was a fantastic guy. And I finally got cash and we had a good conversation with that. I'm watching. Do you have a Roku, Rob? Roku television?
Yes.
You can do Apple TV free for a month. You need to binge watch Ted Lasso. Because the writing is off the chart. And in one scene, he drops Walt Whitman, be curious, not judgmental.
Right.
And I was like, wow. So I take it you have the report on the celebrity passing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Norm.
Norm.
McDonald. Gone at 61 from cancer. And I had... yesterday afternoon, I saw they were having an Adam Sandler fest, and I had literally just started watching Billy Madison, 30 minutes, and then I got the notice on my phone that Norm had passed, and literally he was watching Norm McDonald was in that.
Yeah. He was only 61.
He was only 61, yeah.
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 Our friend Scott pointed out a little bit after that he was also known as Turd Ferguson.
Correct. That's a crappy day. Yeah.
He besides Alex Trebek and Sean Connery, he played a perfect Burt Reynolds. Absolutely. Oh,
gosh, yes. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, it was 1, 2, 3. Those three every time.
And that's my favorite football movie is the original Longest Yard.
Yeah, yeah. Smokey and the Bandit. You know, yeah. Bert
and Boogie Nights. And Boogie Nights was a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I think I mentioned that his bits with Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Second only, in my opinion, to Dennis Miller's.
Yes.
I saw another thing that I sent to you, Joe, about the flack that Norm had gotten about how just absolutely incessant he was about O.J. Simpson. And discussing it one time on the Letterman show with David Letterman. Mm-hmm. Being unapologetic, they don't make him like that anymore, I don't think. You know,
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that to me, that's a George Carlinism, or mm-hmm. a Richard Pryorism, or Robin Williamsism.
Yep. So. Yep. Yep. And yeah, to that point, Mrs. Doubtfire was on last night. I watched it.
Oh man, that's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
That's a timeless movie you can watch over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, rest in peace.
Norman yeah, McDonald. Tragic. See if you can name this quote, because I was watching it on Netflix and it blew me away. This quote was in the start of the documentary, and see if you can name who said it. The service to others, and it's faith-based. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room in heaven. Take a guess who said that.
There's two or three I'm thinking of. That okay. sounds a lot like to me, John Wooden.
No,
and I'll give you another quote after that is why I'm thinking that.
Okay.
It's not who
you think. It's okay. a surprise. It's a big surprise.
Is it? Okay. All right. I probably have no idea on it. But the John Wooden quote that brought that to mind is, you have not lived a perfect day until right. you've given something to someone that no one can repay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So this is on his perfection, and I don't use that word, on his perfect perfection black tombstone. The service to others is the rent you pay for your room in heaven. In Louisville, Kentucky, that is Ali's tombstone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Muhammad Ali's tombstone. And that came from Blood Brothers, the friendship of Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X for 3 years. And if you're sensitive to the fruit of Islam and Elijah Muhammad, do not watch this. But if you like it from the historical angle and you want to know about Marcus Garvey, who you don't talk about in schools, and you want to talk about, I'm going to forget that guy's name. The big professor from Cornell, with the white hair.
Well, his first name is Cornell. Cornell West.
Cornell West, yes. He's yeah. in it. He's fantastic. He's super smart. He's yeah, a genius. Yeah.
I followed him in college. We took some courses, and I that's when I became aware of him, yes.
And the other thing, okay, so I'm going to get in my soapbox. History is getting watered down in our schools.
Oh, yeah. It's not even being taught. It's being rewritten.
Right, right.
In a very bastardized way, in my opinion. But, yeah.
Okay, so my kids were taught this year that Martin Luther King and Malcolm X pretty much had the same positive viewpoints. And I'm like, no. No, not so much. No, they were friends. And they liked each other.
But part of by any means necessary, don't you understand?
Quite. So, but the other thing is, do you know the quote about the white supremacist with Malcolm X?
Uh-uh.
Okay, well, here's the thing that bothers me about history with Malcolm X. And if you haven't read the book, Autobiography of Malcolm X, it's by Alex Haley, who also did Roots. Fascinating. Yeah. That's my second favorite book. I read it in 3 days at Ball State. Fascinating, if you're into that kind of history.
Yeah.
If you haven't read it and you're into that kind of history, please do yourself a favor and read it. Anyway, his nickname is Red. Well, every time you see Malcolm X, it's a black and white picture. However, when he makes the trip to Mecca and comes back, all his pictures are in color. So you see his red hair and you see his red goatee. So he was giving speeches. Now, this is paraphrasing. I don't remember the story word for word. he was giving speeches in the South, and maybe a white reporter from the South said, "You have red hair. How does it feel that your great, great, great grandfather slept with an African American woman to give you the red hair?" And he just lit up that reporter. So, but yeah, that's the thing, because all the pictures you see of Malcolm X are black and white. He had fire engine red hair and a fire engine goatee. Mm-hmm. Fire engine red goatee. So, and when he came back from Mecca and changed his name to El Haj Malik Shabazz, that's when he got the hit notice put on him. Mm. Because he went against the Nation of Islam. Mm. So, there you have it.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
So, and there's also a great documentary called The Killing of Malcolm X. And I think that was on Netflix too. And there were 4 African-American men arrested at the theater where he did his last speech. And there was no security. There was no police presence at all when there normally was. There was no security. There was no security anywhere. It was like a ducks in a barrel.
Yeah.
So basically, I don't want to give this away, the guy who had the sawed-off shotgun that killed Malcolm X totally walked away from that scene and was never charged. And the other 3 guys went to jail for life.
Yeah.
So, if you're a history guy like I am, and I don't, as long as it's a great history story, whether it's Greek, Roman, African American, Egyptian, American history, Asian history, I'm all over it. So
yeah, yeah. And no, that is, I was thinking about that when I came back from my dad's birthday get together on mm-hmm. this last Friday, and I hadn't even known it, not in the slightest bit, but here's my dad turning 84.
Oh, wow.
And I told people, I said, you know, he's a young 84.
Good. That's good.
And yeah. And so when we were out there at the farm, I remember most of the trees that are there now being planted, or they were shortly before I was born. So they've always been there, but now they're huge.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, they're just huge. And, but 2 of them, my grandparents, sorry, I got sidetracked.
That's okay.
But my grandparents put in fruit trees. There used to be peach trees, cherry trees.
Yeah.
You know, those are gone now. But there's 2 apple trees there. And as we're sitting there, because I picked apples off this tree and brought it home, and I made applesauce with my food processor the next day.
Nice.
Picked straight from the tree, you know, eating right then.
And that's nothing better than fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but as I'm sitting there with my parents, and this would have been my mom's parents' farm.
Right.
Her parents are the ones that laid all that out. But the apples I was bringing home, and I'd heard the stories, but basically it was my great, great grandfather back when people would, you know, do hybrids and grafting and all that stuff. It was called the Grimes apple about 150 years ago.
Right.
And you can't find them anymore, but that was a hybrid of an apple that had my great, great grandfather's name on it. Okay. Right. Well, that's what these were. And what I didn't realize was I had grown tomatoes, and these are the big beefsteak tomatoes. You put them in your hand, right, and they cover your whole hand. Okay,
right, sure. Right.
They're the big ones. Right. And I didn't do, I think of maybe four dozen possibilities. I've gotten maybe a dozen keepers out of it. So I took a couple of those to my parents. Well, what I found out was those tomatoes I was taking to them, around the same time, my great-great-grandfather on my dad's side,
mm-hmm,
had done a hybrid of a beefsteak tomato. So it was like I was visiting two or three generations before me, and I didn't even realize it. Just something that simple. Yep. You know, so yes, read the history, everything. You know, there's crap out there. There's a lot more crap out there anymore. But find truth. You know, it's not going to be hand delivered to you. Definitely not anymore.
And that's also true for music. Listen to everything. Yep. Don't get pigeonholed into one genre. Listen to everything because it'll broaden your mind.
Yep.
Same with reading. Well, you should be reading either. You should, well, I'm not going on the soapbox, but I do devotions. That's my personal choice. If you don't like that, meditation can help you release stress and anxiety. If you don't want to do that, yoga's great for that. I mean, whatever does it for you, because our anxiety level has tripled because of the cell phone alone.
Well, and that, you just hit a nerve. I saw a story today that all of a sudden they're finding out that Instagram and that Facebook knows about it is harmful to teens.
Oh, yeah?
Well, the comparison that was being given, you remember this, before cell phones, before Facebook, before the internet, back in the prehistoric 80s.
Right.
You knew kind of what your grade was by the community you were in. Am I a four? Well, anymore with Instagram and all the others, that
Snapchat
person in that town,
Snapchat and TikTok and
Twitter. That eight in down home Indiana is now at best a four in their own eyes.
Right. And, well, I have, you know, my favorite national pastor is Francis Chan. He has a saying for that. He says, social media is called the golden opinion that can do no wrong. And I'm like, yep.
Yeah. So it's, I would not want to be the age I was in the 80s in this.
Oh, no. For the online bullying alone.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it's literally able to walk into your house 24/7.
Right. Right. And you can't play outside.
Yep.
Anymore. Yep. I mean, you can in some spots, but not citywide. No way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Now, the thing in that piece I saw today was the idea that, you know, if it can't be monitored and checked and here's the thing, back to that 80s comparison.
Yep.
At that time, it was Cosmo, Teen Vogue, magazines, right?
Yes,
And what happened?
And Dungeons and Dragons.
The magazines and said, they basically went to the magazines and said, you can't keep doing this to young girls, you know, saying that this is a standard. Well, they have to do the same thing with social media. And one of the things was basically, you know, if you're on, say, Instagram, you get a set amount of minutes per day, and then it shuts off.
Well, I have two teenagers, both in high school now, and they said, Dad, Facebook is for old people. So if we're talking about youth, we're talking about Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, and Twitter. And that's too much,
It's way too much. Yeah. And another thing to go along with that is the Yeah, Facebook's for old people. You know, it's, even I don't use MySpace anymore. I don't even know if it exists.
It exists for music.
But to go along with that, here's the proof. If you're looking for the proof of what we're talking about here, even Britney Spears announced that she's engaged. She's walking away from Instagram and all of that right now to focus on being engaged. Even good she for her. Gets it. And she was just naked here in the last month, maybe 4 or 5 times on Instagram.
Right, basically. Right.
Topless and flaunting her bits and all that. So
her eight bits or her 12 bits?
two bits a dog.
I would have hollered.
Yeah.
I would have stand up and hollered.
But, you know, even she gets it after a certain point. It's too much.
Yeah, it's overkill. I mean, in my opinion. So, I mean, it's fun and it's cool and it's a great promoting tool. Well, that I wasn't trying to rhyme there, but you should. He's an up and coming rapper. It's Glass Joe. He's an up and coming rapper.
Jazzy Joe and the Funky Bunch.
Heck no. I was Joe Maestro when I started the hip hop show at Ball State, believe it or not.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. In 1990, they asked me to do it. I'm like, well, yeah.
Nice.
So
I told you the story why I didn't get into radio, right? Because the guy that lived next door to me, he actually had and I think still has a career in various radio stations, most notably here in the 90s. He was with WFMS.
Okay.
But he was the manager of the Franklin College radio.
Okay.
And directed it and everything like that. And of course, you know, it's college kids. He's trying to fill slots. And he just would always ask me, hey, will you take an hour slot once a week? I was like, if it's a Led Zeppelin hour, yes.
And he said no.
He said no.
Okay. So there's a cool story about that. My 5-year-old nephew has discovered the drums. And guess what's the first song I played for him?
Bonzo's Mantra.
No.
Which one?
Immigrant Song from Thor's
Ragnarok.
Oh,
yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
No, that's the one that got me. That song is what got me. But Bonzo's Mantra, if he's playing drums,
Well, he's 5, so he's not playing a drum set yet, but he's getting there.
Oh, he'll like that one though too, because it's very drum centric. So yeah,
and I'm a Stuart Copeland guy, but Bonham's my 3rd, Neil Peart's my 2nd, and Bonham's my 3rd.
Yeah,
but you know, we talked about Charlie Watt dying, which was I found a Rolling Stone shirt. I was amazed. So I was surprised that they weren't all gone. So
yeah.
So pick that up recently. Yeah. Nice. So you got any final comments there, Rob?
Just, you know, since last time we had a podcast, we were talking about events in Afghanistan. We've had the 9/11 20-year memorial. And
let me ask you a question.
Yep.
I'm not sorry to interrupt you. Where were you 20 years ago?
Nope, that's perfect, because I wasn't sure exactly where I was going to go with it, but everybody asked, and it just for people that weren't alive then, it was a day, and I don't know that my parents ever had a day like that, but my grandparents did, because I interviewed them about it in high school. It was called Pearl Harbor.
Yes, of course.
It was a day where perfect blue skies. Not a plane in the air. And you just knew that 20 years from now, from that day, there would be kids that would ask you, where were you?
Right, yes.
I've had a couple of those moments, and I hate them. Because I knew 20 years ago that was going to be what would happen, you know? So.
Well, they asked my son, who's 17. They asked him, the history teacher asked him, will you 20 years ago? And he said, I was a twinkle in my father's eye, but he didn't say father's eye.
Brilliant.
Right. He's smart. He's him and my daughter are very smart. So
well, here's when I first knew the stuff was hitting the fan.
Right.
And a few years before this, I had a little, I shared a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment with a longtime friend of mine. And in my room, I had a teeny tiny TV. I mean, it was maybe 13 inches. It was, you know.
Was it a Sony Watchman?
Sony. Yeah, Sony.
Yep.
And I remember 2 years before this, I'd seen this fanatical group called the Taliban.
Yep.
Had blown up a centuries old monument because it was an idol.
Yes.
And so as of that moment forward, I was like, you know what? The world's going to hell. I'm not going to watch news. I'm just going to get a shower and go to work. So on Tuesday, 9/11,
yep,
2001.
Where were you working?
I was at a third-party administrator. At the time, it was called JF Molloy. Uh-huh. And I lived and worked, and that building was, it shared a pond with the pyramids. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yep. On the west side.
Yep. Yep. Northwest side.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so my apartment, I literally would drive to work by driving across the parking lot. At the time, I think there was a Cub Foods there and a Walmart and I think a movie theater. But I would literally cut across parking lots, take a light, and I was at work. So on this particular morning, I get in my car and my radio was already set to WIBC.
Yep.
And I hear something about a plane, or I hadn't heard what had happened yet, but I heard Peter Jennings,
yep,
his voice talking about the World Trade Center.
Yep.
And I was like, well, what the hell? Did Peter Jennings die? Because he's talking about something that happened almost 10 years ago.
With the first attack under the Clinton administration.
Yes. So by the time I got to my first turn, that's when they finally talked about what was happening.
Yep.
And I didn't drive.
Take your time. Take a deep breath.
My car coasted to work that day.
Yes.
I literally hands off the wheel.
Right.
So I get into work. I knew it was going to be the topic.
And of course.
I open the door and I go in and I remember exactly who said it. It was another good friend of mine. He said, they just hit the Pentagon.
Right.
There was not a call that came into our center that day. And about noon, 1 o'clock, they sent us home.
Right.
That evening, probably my longest friendship I've ever had, his wife, I'd called because I knew that his brother was in the Army.
Right.
And he wasn't home because at the time he was doing security detail on the east side of Indianapolis because there were rumors of potential looting, riots.
Right.
Gas prices spiked.
Yep.
But I remember what she said to me, and it's really what kind of put the final brick on it, which was, what am I going to tell my kids?
Right.
I still don't know.
Well, this is an emotional hot button for you, so I'm going to tell you my story. And I'm going to tell you my final answer. And it's okay if you don't agree with it. So, I was at 2001, September 11th. I always take my birthday off, which is September 8th. A lot of people are off on Mondays, in general, if they take a long weekend, because Labor Day can usually fall around September 8th. So they wanted to make sure that building was full. That's why they chose Tuesday, September 11th, because of the emergency code. So, and that's why they hit the tower around that time. So, it's a normal Tuesday morning. Phones are normal. I'm customer service representative for Medicare. With a Administrator Federal. And phones are normal till 9 o'clock. My manager, there's no televisions in this building anywhere. And my manager used soap operas on her Sony Watchman. She had the news on that day. And it was live. And the news and the news breaks that the planes, and I'm going to add the sports angle to this because I remember all of this vividly. I've got one of those nutty memories where I can remember the scene and the audio, and I can do that going to that where I was a very small child. So we're going to go way long. I'm going to warn you right now, this episode's going to go way long, and that's the beauty of a podcast. It can go as long as it.
Just like Bob Eubanks said, great thing about baseball, there's no time clock.
Right. So the first plane hits the West Tower, I believe. And people are panicky, super panicky. They're like, what in the hell is going on here? And 5 to 10 minutes later, I will never forget this ever, as long as I live. My manager, when the second plane hit and the tower fell, my manager did the most piercing scream that's etched in my brain forever. So it was live television. It was like we were in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen in America.
Nope.
And in the Middle East, they were calling Osama bin Laden the Middle Eastern James Bond.
Yeah.
So
he did billions, if not, well, by now trillions worth of damage in a period of a few minutes with about, I think that his budget was $500,000 to $1 million.
Right. And I won't even get into the Islamic belief, if you die for your religion, what happens with that? So I won't even get into that. So, and I've studied Islam, and there's a difference between jihad. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a huge difference between jihad and the peaceful people of Islam. Huge difference. Yep. Know your facts, please.
Yep.
So, the people of the Taliban and the 9/11 were jihad, period. So, anyway. So, the towers fell, the Pentagon gets hit, the Patriots sacrifice themselves and down the plane in Pennsylvania. And that was a, I'm going to put an explicit lyric on this. That was a shit show.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. That was a shit show. And here's my thing. Where was the Air Force?
I've got the answer.
Okay.
At least what they put out there.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're streaming it, but on Discovery, it would have been last week, maybe Thursday of last week, they were doing kind of a 20-year debrief, and they were interviewing a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Just the stories you don't hear about. Did you know, we know what the Patriots did on Flight 93, but did you know that the pilot of that plane was a black man?
No, I never knew that.
Nobody knew it, but they interviewed his wife, and she mentioned it.
That's unbelievable. Okay. Why not? Why not?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was just one part, but they also interviewed a woman who was in the Air Force that day.
Yeah.
And she and her, she was the co-pilot, her pilot.
Yeah.
They literally got the call from Dick Cheney.
Right.
And they said, get planes in the air now, because Flight 93 hadn't crashed yet, and they knew it was coming.
Right. Well, I know they were going to shoot them down. I know that one.
These were the people that were going to shoot them down.
Right.
But guess what? Protocol is, at least at that time, was you don't have loaded, armed military jets, period. You don't. So
what?
Yes. You have them in a separate bunker. You have to assemble them and attach them, and it takes time. Because they don't want armament flying all over the country and crashing and blowing stuff up even worse, right? Or God forbid, a Taliban-backed group gets a hold of one of them, right?
Right.
So their mission was they weren't going to shoot it down. They were going to crash into it.
Kamikaze.
Yes.
Okay.
And the only reason this woman was able to give the interview 20 years later is because those people did what they did. But she said, point blank, those people shouldn't have had to do what they did.
Correct.
So.
You know me, Rob. I think outside of the box. So, I don't accept the standard answer. There's 1 billion conspiracy theories, and I'm not going to get into that. But I'm going to get into the facts here, okay? The fact is, the administration paid the victims' families $1 million per family, so it never come up again.
Well,
and that's a fact. That's not speculation. That's not conspiracy. That's a fact.
That administration got a real, since we're going explicit, shitburger dealt to them because not one, not two, but three Democrats were there right before it happened. Bill Clinton himself said, well, I could have took him out.
Right.
And
right.
Our current president, when Obama decided to take him out, when they had him,
right.
But Biden said no.
Right.
So
let's bring this back to what I was going to say, how this relates to football and sports. So because of September 11th, all the football sports got put on ice because Vinny Testaverde of the Jets says, I'm not flying to San Francisco for that game this week.
Yeah.
And Tagliabue said, we're not having any games at all that next week. So what happened with NFL football before September 11th, the Super Bowl used to be played on the last weekend of January. Ever since September 11th, that's been moved to the first weekend in February. This is they had a week 17. It's going to be the second week of February. And if I understand it correctly, that's the same week as the Daytona 500.
Yes.
Well, it could be done, but that... So that's how September 11th affected the culture. And the heartbreaker for me was watching the television live when the many people, I don't know how many it was, but when on the two towers, the people jumped off because they had nowhere to go. We jumped off the top of the World Trade Center because they had nowhere to go. And they had no assistance.
And one of those stories was told as well, because if you remember the
the at the time there was a Catholic priest
who died. I missed one element. I once missed one element, and we could come back to that.
Yeah, but he died because one of those people jumping out of the towers landed on him.
Oh, the other element I missed, when the first plane hit, the building was sent to be evacuated, and they stopped it and sent everybody back to their cubicles. They all could have gotten out earlier. A lot of them couldn't have gotten out earlier, but they stopped it and sent them back to their cubicles in that 84 building or whatever.
Yeah.
There were,
as far as work related, the business we were in, there were brokers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had a satellite office there. I don't know if it was their headquarters, but.
The end of my experience was at Big Blue, the phones went silent.
Yeah.
The rest of the day.
Yep.
And we didn't go home till the CEO said, quote, at 2 p.m., it's time for you to go home and be with your families. So yeah. I drove from Castleton to Madison County, tried to get some gas, and it was a madhouse like the 1970s gas shortage.
Yeah.
And gas was like $4 plus.
Yeah.
At the gas stations in Madison County. Then we drove to our mom's house, and it was like watching the Twilight Zone all over again, because I didn't see anything. It was just all audio.
Yeah. Well, and the other part of when I got in the office, a lady did have a tiny, whatever, 4-inch mm-hmm. desktop TV.
Yeah.
And there were 24 of us huddled around that cube.
Yep. All right.
Because, again, to your point, in that line of work I was in, there wasn't a single person calling. There was more important things going on.
Right.
To get back to that documentary, and I don't know if it's a final thought, but just something to add to it. They interviewed a news reporter that had gone there initially on the first plane going in.
Yeah.
And they showed some of his taped footage at that time. Mm-hmm. And then it progressed to the second plane hits. What was he doing?
Yeah.
Then the collapses and the footage and all of that. But then this was a reporter being interviewed, and I can't remember what the question was, but basically it was like, what do you take away from this?
Yep.
He's like, well, you know, up to the point of the second plane going in, I was a news reporter. And after that, I don't know if I've ever been since, because it showed him trying to console people and, you know, trying to help when it's a helpless situation. But his thought on it was, 20 years after the fact, is if you were alive on September 12th, you're a survivor of 9/11.
Correct. And the first responders and the dogs that went in there, they had mental health issues for years, and the dogs were the heroes as well. Mm-hmm. So the takeaway that I have is terrorism has been around forever, especially in the rest of the world. But it was really, you know, outside of World War II, and we knew the planes were coming, but we ignored it in Hawaii. In fact, it was a Sunday morning, and everybody was coming back from the country club or whatever, or the officers club.
Yeah.
Anyway, as difficult as this topic is, and the nerves are raw the nerves are still raw because of the Greek and Roman tragedy of the many lost lives. Okay. So how I turn that into a positive is read the Sports Illustrated story, Remember My Name, of Pat Thelma.
Yeah.
And that's what I wore at the Colts game. I didn't have Arizona Cardinals hat. I had my maroon Philadelphia Phillies hat from 1981. And the P stood for Pat Thelma.
Yeah.
And that's how I turn a negative into a positive. And absolutely. His story is another shit show. So, but I'm going to say this, and if you want to repeat it, that's fine. If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
The 1 month I was a intern teacher for an internship at my college.
Yep.
I was teaching U.S. history, and that's how I started my first day. To be ignorant of the past is to be condemned to repeat it.
Yep.
That's why we study all this stuff, and you know, but you know, the larger context. On September 11th, my dad had turned 64 the day before that.
Okay.
And I wasn't able to talk to him for a couple of days because he was still going at it full bore. It was a couple of days later I was able to talk to him on the phone, and we had a talk, but there's only one thing I remember from that, and it was he was basically looking at, he's eligible to retire in a year.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
But my sister was still in college. I think it was her senior year.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he said, "This is the world that you've inherited.
Right.
Your mother's and I is right outside that door." And that's the way he's lived his life since, pretty much. Especially with the pandemic and everything else.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So.
So, yeah, I mean, that was the American tragedy.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, Big Blue has always done right by me with doing the tributes every year. And they let people do a 15-minute tribute or so. Yeah. Every year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The, I'm sure you saw it, the the way the Army came onto the field during that college football game. Did you see that?
I don't have cable, so no, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get a chance, YouTube it, Google it. Every single player as they ran onto the field was carrying an American flag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah. There were tributes all over the place, and you know, 20 years from now, God willing, we'll talk about the 40 year. And I remember, you know, my birthday is D-Day, and so whenever I have a birthday, I also compare notes to what had happened 30 years before that, give or take.
Yeah,
you know, and but yes. Study history, know truth. Don't just accept what's fed to you.
Right, because I'm a big believer in you have to teach your kids at home.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it is, unfortunately.
That's a story when I was a stepdad for a while. That I would share with her son. When I was in high school, I was okay. I was above average, you know, student, everything like that. There was maybe 100 people in our class by the time we graduated. And, I was definitely top third, top quarter.
Yeah.
But the people that were at the top, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
The valedictorian, I think I've mentioned this, I went with to my senior prom.
Mm-hmm.
She went on to a great career as a vet. And it was just known. She does not miss an answer, period. Does not.
Yeah.
And looking back on that, she didn't do a lot of extracurricular activities.
Correct.
Not a lot of socializing. I can't remember being at one football or basketball game.
Right.
The person that was second or third in our class, she was, I'll just say, more well-rounded with extracurricular socialization.
Yeah.
Things like that, right? So she wasn't a valedictorian, she wasn't a salutatorian, but she was third.
Was she the social butterfly?
She wasn't the homecoming queen or anything like that ever. Yeah. I think she ran for class president, maybe got that. But yeah, she was definitely a lot more outgoing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so the difference between number one in our class and number three in our class, that number three, as of 15, 20 years ago, had been the only person from the high school in the 30 or 40 or 50 year history of the high school to ever go to an Ivy League school.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
Yeah. And it wasn't just that. She's also been to Stanford, Northwestern, you know, all
wow.
of them.
Wow.
So, and, you know, so the thing I try to bring back, it starts at home. It does start at home. And
yep.
the difference yep. between one and three doesn't mean diddly. As far as
yes, what you're right.
long view you're taking, you know?
Yeah.
So don't sacrifice your teenage years for the difference between being number one and number three.
Correct. And it's my mom always said, when I was five, when I went to kindergarten, I could read pretty well when I went right. to kindergarten.
Yeah.
When I finished kindergarten, I couldn't read much. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I learned to read at the age of 4 or 5.
Yeah.
There's a place, and it's still out there in Greencastle, Indiana. It's called the Double Decker.
Yeah.
And it was when you actually had drive-ups, drive-ins. You
yes,
know?
Sure.
And the menu boards. I learned to read from those menu boards.
Okay.
Because my parents would look at it and say, what do you want? And they wouldn't tell me what it said. They would help me right. work through
sure,
what
sure.
it said.
Well, we weren't spoon-fed, brother.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So, fast forward 8 years or so. I, in the sixth grade, those achievement tests they would have us do then. I don't know what versions of those they have these days, if at all, but
yeah,
I scored on the verbal part in the top 99% of the country.
Wow.
And so they let me take the SAT, which I failed miserably in my seventh grade year. So
that was the hardest test I ever took in my life.
It was brutal.
I rocked the PSAT, but the SAT, I was like, not the math was like all over me.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, got to wrap this up. Do you have a final statement, my friend?
Yeah. Football's back. Thank God. And
welcome back, fantasy.
Welcome back, fantasy football. Yeah. I'm 1-0, but I'm third in overall rankings based on points.
So am I.
You know, we'll see what happens. I've done some crazy stuff with waiver wires. Mostert went away, so yes. I picked up. Can't remember his name. I think his last name starts with an S. But I got
Superman.
Him. Yeah, yeah. And we got football back, and you know, just keep on keeping on.
My final thought. We talked a lot about health and wellness today, which we normally don't get into. but I'm glad we did, because this show, we try to do edutainment. We try to entertain, we try to educate, and I'm stealing that from KRS-One. We do edutainment here, and we try to do smart, funny edutainment where we entertain and educate. And cinnamon pills will help you with your diabetes, and it's not publicly known. And I'm going to give this mushroom maitake a shot, and because you do not want to take this shots for type 1. It is dreadful. You do not want to go there if you don't have to. So that's my final word of the day. So it's 90 minutes, time to get dinner. This show was brought to you by the letter N as in Norm. 1 Joshua, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5:7. For Rob, I'm Joe Carney for Andy's Local Flavor, and thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.